anything and everything.
Do you ever wonder how to? Do you ever wonder why?
About anything and everything. Then Dorit is your guy. Anything and everything will open your mind. Anything and everything with Dorit. Anything and everything with Dorit is online. Remember.
Remember.
Anything and everything with Dorit.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Anything and Everything podcast, and I'm your host, Dorit. This episode is brought to you by McNeese Construction. Welcome, everyone, to the Anything and Everything podcast, and I'm your host, Dorit. As you know, I write for other publications besides my blog, and I often am asked, where do I get my information? Well, you can always check at the end of my articles where I list the references. I do not have just one or two sites. I'm all over the place. I go to government agencies like the FDA, CDC, USDA, EPA. I go to groups like the EWG. I go to PubMed and NIH. Any place that I feel I will find legitimate, trustworthy information. And then, of course, I have specific people that have expertise in particular areas, and I like to pick their brain every now and then. I also go to seminars, conferences, I take classes. I need to gain as much knowledge that I can about current information of any given topic. There are months where I may go to 3 different events that are a week long. I take notes and I double check their info. I do my own research. For me, there is nothing worse than receiving or giving bad information. I want to give you the best that I can. I also realize that there can be conflicting information out there, and not everyone will agree, but that's okay. That's why I will never tell you that you should or shouldn't do something, or use or not use something for you and your family. I'll never ridicule you for your choices, and I expect the same. What I do want is to get the conversation started and to get people thinking about why they do what they do. We are all products of our upbringing, our environment. A friend of mine reminded me that you can only do better when you know better. So many times we do things without question because that's what our parents did. That's what we know, right? That's what we're familiar with. And that reminds me of a story I was once told about an old family recipe. The grandmother would follow a recipe that had been in the family for generations. She cooked the chicken in a pan, but she always cut the legs off before cooking it. Everyone else that used that recipe always did the same thing with the legs. Now, that part wasn't written in the recipe to cut the legs off, but they knew every time they ate it, that's how it was prepared. So one day, someone finally asked, "Grandma, why do you cut the legs off the chicken?" She replied, "That's the only way I can get it to fit in the pan." So sometimes we should ask questions before following along so that we can understand why it's done that way. Maybe we can use that idea, but in a way that it works best for us. For instance, I grew up in a family that used conventional medicine. We went to the doctor regularly. We took over-the-counter meds, prescriptions when necessary. We all got our vaccinations. My mom bought all of our personal and household products, such as laundry detergent, bath soap, shampoos. If there was a reaction to the product, my mom would just purchase a different brand till she found the one that didn't cause an irritation. So of course, when I moved into my own household, I followed suit. Sure, I changed the brands that my mother used that would suit me and my family. I was just doing what I was familiar with. And that's what most of us do. We live our lives the way we did for the most part, the way we grew up. That's what we know. So it wasn't until I was in my 40s and all five children, they were grown and out the house, and I needed to make a change. I was going through the empty nest syndrome. I was bored. I needed to do something with my life, but I also wanted to do something that would help others. I didn't want to go spend a whole lot of time at school again. So I didn't want to take nursing. I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to, you know, do anything that's going to take a whole lot of schooling, but that would give me a sense of accomplishment and I would be helping others. So I was like, you know what? Medical assisting seems perfect for me. So I moved on. I went to work, worked with doctors and elderly patients. And one thing I learned in school was that I wasn't fond of medicine. You see, we had to take a semester of pharmacology. And I thought, if these medications cause all these side effects, some that were worse than the issue you're trying to resolve, why would anyone take it? Then I noticed at the doctor's offices, pharmaceutical reps would be willing to sit for an hour or so waiting on a doctor so that they could pitch a new medication. And the doctor knew they would come and they'd have to wait, so he'd have a room set up at least once a week with all kinds of food to feed the reps so that they would stay. So I thought, wow, they must be making a lot of money to be able to sit like that. No wonder the price for meds is so expensive, right? I also watched firsthand how the medication affected people. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in medicine. I use conventional medicine. I have a regular nurse practitioner that I go to when I need to. But I do my very best. I do my due diligence to use natural medicine and live a holistic lifestyle in order to prevent from going to the doctor. Who wants to go, right? I believe we all must be diligent in protecting our family, and that for the most part, there is no right or wrong way. What works for me may not work for you, and vice versa. So, in order to make the best choice for you and your family, you need to know where to go to find the right kind of information. So for today, I would like to bring the FDA to your attention. I'm sure we all heard about this agency and we think we know what they do, but do we really? Let's go to the website, fda.gov, and take a look. Is a really good resource for all kinds of information. When you arrive on a home page, you will see 10 tabs at the top. Tabs read home, food, drugs, medical devices, radiation emitting products, vaccines, blood and biologics, animal and veterinary, cosmetics, and tobacco products. Then to the right, they have five categories. One is for consumers, which is going to give you updates and info on staying safe and healthy. Then they have one for patients, so you can learn about other treatments, drug device approvals, public meetings, and more. And then they have one for health professionals, which is medical product safety info, adverse event problem reporting, and more. Then you have for scientists and researchers, NCTR, pediatrics, clinical trials, critical path initiative, foods and vet, medicine research, and more. They have one for industry, which is the guidance, registration, and listing. You pay your user fees, import programs, and more. So that's basically what you're going to see on the home screen. Now, below, they have regulatory info and FDA programs. They also list about FDA to the right. Now, let's see what the FDA does. Now, these are their own words that you can read from the website. Now, I'm not going to go into everything because you're going to be able to go in there and take a look, take your time. I just want to give you just a brief outline of what they do. The FDA is responsible for, and then it says, protecting the public health by assuring that foods, except for meat from livestock, poultry, and some egg products, which are regulated by the USDA, are safe, wholesome, sanitary, and properly labeled. Ensuring that human and veterinary drugs and vaccines and other biological products and medical devices intended for human use are safe and effective. And then they protect the public from electronic product radiation. They assure cosmetics and dietary supplements are safe and properly labeled, regulating tobacco products, and advancing the public health by helping to speed product innovation. And then it tells you their responsibilities extend to the 50 U.S. states, District of Columbia, and all the territories and possessions. So what exactly does the FDA regulate? Again, in their words, the FDA regulates foods. Now, in each of these categories, they have it broken down. I'm not going to read all of that. Again, when you go to it, you'll see. And give you the main headings. So, in general, the FDA regulates foods, drugs, biologics, medical devices, electronic products that give off radiation, cosmetics, veterinary products, and tobacco products. That's what they regulate. Now, that does not mean that they're saying it's approved. Okay, they're regulating it. Now, here's things that they approve. FDA approves color additives used in FDA-regulated products. They approve animal drugs and food additives for use in food for animals. They do not approve cosmetics. Now, when they say cosmetics, it would be perfumes, makeup, moisturizers, shampoos, hair dyes, face and body cleansers, and shaving prep. They do not require FDA approval before they go on the market. The only exception to that is going to be the color additives, other than coal tar hair dyes. And they must be safe for their intended use and be properly labeled. But they don't approve it. Think about that. What's going in our hair, our skin, our eyes, our lips, and they don't approve it. They don't approve medical foods. They don't approve infant formula. Let's see. The FDA does not approve infant formulas before they can be marketed, but manufacturers of infant formula are subject to FDA's regulatory oversight. Manufacturers must ensure that infant formula complies with federal nutrient requirements, and they must register with the FDA and provide the agency with a notification before marketing a new formula. They don't approve dietary supplements. They do not approve food labels or the nutrition facts panel. They do not approve structure function claims on dietary supplements in other foods. They use a risk-based approach for human cells and tissues. They do not approve tobacco products. And that sort of makes sense if you think about it. There's no such thing as a safe tobacco product, right? So they can't tell you it's safe. They can't really approve it. But what they do is they regulate the tobacco products based on a public health standard that considers the product's risk to the population as a whole. Now, the FDA also approves food additives and food for people. Do not approve companies. You ever see those ads where they try to get you to believe they approved this company? Well, it's a lie. That's a marketing gimmick. right here in their own words, the FDA does not approve healthcare facilities, laboratories, or manufacturers. The FDA does have the authority to inspect regulated facilities to verify that they comply with applicable good manufacturing practice regulations. The FDA approves new drugs and biologics. They do not approve compounded drugs. Now, compounded drug is when a pharmacist or physician combines the ingredients to create medications that meet the needs of a specific individual patient. So that would make sense. They're not going to approve that, right? They use a risk-based tiered approach for regulating medical devices. And of course, they say the misuse of FDA's logo may violate federal law. Now, I wanted to go over this with you because so many of us, including myself, believe that if it's on a shelf in the United States, then it must be safe. And it's just not true. There is only so much that they can do. And maybe that's a good thing. I mean, after all, we don't want the government taking over total control, right? We don't want that anyway. But we also need to understand that these agencies, while they mean well, they also have employees that have agendas, and they may be pushing something that may not be in your best interest also. And the reason I say that is, for example, did you know that there are products on our shelves right now, such as shampoo and conditioner, that have ingredients in it that in order for that company to sell it to Europe or even China, they must take certain ingredients out of it because it has been deemed unsafe? Now, I will go over that in another episode, but I wanted to point that out because it's important for you to know that you cannot expect any agency to protect you and your loved ones better than you can. You must do your due diligence. I realize that many people are so busy that they just don't have time. Trust me, I know. I raised 5 children as a single mother for several years, and I just didn't know any better. And I really never thought about it. I was so busy working and focusing on the needs of the kids, I wasn't thinking about what's in my shampoo. I'm thinking it's at the store in the United States of America. It must be safe. So that's why I write about these issues, so that you can first know that it exists, and second, decide what you want to do about it, if anything at all. At least you have options. I will always give you references so that you can do your own research and make decisions that are best for you and your family. And from time to time, I will go over the different agencies and what they do so you will know where to go when needed. Meanwhile, if you have any issues or agencies that you would like to know more about, then please email us and let us know. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show, and please check our show notes below. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. And until we meet again, enjoy every day to its fullest. And God bless.